I have an interesting subject, I believe, today, and I want you to take your Bibles and at least read the opening scripture with me, but if I move along too rapidly, why don't you take a piece of paper and a pencil and jot down these scriptures and then go back later and study them. I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture and speaking to you on this subject, who is Jesus Christ. Now that ought to be interesting. I hope the Holy Spirit will give me some liberty to preach God's word and you some understanding on this subject, who is Jesus Christ. One day our Lord asked the disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, one of the prophets, but he said, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter replied, we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then one day our master asked the religious leaders, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And that's my subject today. Who is Jesus Christ? Now, Jesus Christ was born in poverty. There was no room for his mother to be in the inn, so he was born in a stable. And when he came forth from his mother's womb, he was swaddled, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid in a box that's used to feed the cattle, the horses and the cows. It's called a manger. And when this man Jesus Christ, as an infant, came into the world, born in a stable, he was placed in a box that was used to hold the fodder for the cows and the horses. His foster father was a carpenter, unknown, uninfluential, inconspicuous, very poor. And this man Jesus Christ had no formal training or education. He never traveled over 90 miles from his hometown. He never owned a piece of ground. He never owned a house. He never held public office. This man Jesus Christ, all of his friends were poor, unknown, and despised people. Someone said one day, everybody who was anybody turned thumbs down on him. The religious leaders called him the friend of sinners. They called him a wine bibber. They called him a blasphemer. They called him a troublemaker. At 33 years of age, he was accused of preaching heresy, and false witnesses stood up against him. Even his disciples forsook him and fled, and one of them sold him for just $18. All men turned away from him. He was tried by a religious court. He was tried by a political court, and he made no effort on either occasion to defend himself against these false witnesses and false charges. And then he was taken outside the city of Jerusalem, and he was nailed to a cross between two thieves. Forsaken by his disciples and all of his so-called friends, deserted by everyone, hanging alone between heaven and earth on a cross between two thieves, and according to his own cries, he was forsaken by the Father himself, by God Almighty. God turned his back on Christ. He died on that cross and was taken down from the cross and laid in a borrowed tomb that belonged to a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. On the third day, he arose from the grave. And after appearing to his disciples and many other people, almost 500 people on one occasion, he ascended to heaven. And just as at his birth, when the angels appeared to the shepherds and said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, these angels appeared at his ascension. And they said to the disciples who were there watching the Master go up into heaven, they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. Who is this man, Jesus Christ? This man who, while on the earth, never wrote a book, and yet all the libraries of the world will not contain the books written about him. This man, Jesus of Nazareth, never wrote a song, and yet he's the theme of more songs than all subjects combined. This man Jesus of Nazareth never attended college, and yet all the colleges and universities and schools in the world cannot hold the students of his life and his doctrine. This man Jesus of Nazareth never studied medicine, and yet he healed more bodies and more souls and more hearts and more homes than all the doctors and counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists and healers who ever lived. Satan could not seduce him. The law could not accuse him. Men could find no fault in him. The religious crowd couldn't answer him. Death couldn't destroy him. The grave couldn't hold him, and the earth couldn't keep him. Who is this man, Jesus of Nazareth? He was the finest specimen of humanity that ever lived on this earth. He stood before Pilate's court, and if Pilate could have found one flaw in his life or in his character, he would have certainly brought it to light. But as he stood before Pilate, even the ruler said himself, "I can find no fault in this man." Who is this man, Jesus of Nazareth? His teachings were the purest and the loftiest the world has ever witnessed. They sent some soldiers out one day to arrest him. They listened to him speak. They came back without him. And the hirelings, he sent them out, said, "Well, where is the man?" They said, "We couldn't arrest him. We listened to him speak. No man ever spake like this man." Who is this man, Jesus of Nazareth? His deeds were all so miraculous and so unselfish and so powerful that even a representative of the highest Jewish religious order, Nicodemus, came to him and said, "We know you've come from God, because no man could do the miracles that you do except God be with him." Who is this man, Jesus of Nazareth? Since he walked on this earth, there has been no end to the controversy regarding this man. Who is Jesus Christ? Do you really want to know? Do you? Are you willing? Are you willing to lay aside all your tradition? Do you want to know who he is and why he came and what was his mission and what he did? Do you want to know where he is? Are you willing to lay aside all of your tradition and all of your prejudice and all of your preconceived notions? Are you willing to listen to the Word of God? Are you willing to approach this subject with an open heart and an open mind and cry, "Spirit of the living God, be my teacher. I want to know as if I had never met the man and never heard of him and had no teaching in the past regarding him or his work. I want to know who he is. What does the Word of God say about Jesus Christ?" All right, first of all, I call in the angels of God. I call in the angels of God to let them tell you who Jesus Christ is. And the scripture I'm reading is Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew 1, 18. "Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Joseph was a just man and not willing to make her a public shame, a public example, would have put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, "Joseph, don't be afraid to take unto thee Mary to be thy wife, for the child in her womb is conceived by the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And then the angel appeared to Mary. And the angel approached Mary, the angel of the Lord, in Luke 1, 28. He appeared to Mary, and he said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, Mary. Blessed art thou among women. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Israel forever and forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said, well, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's who he is. The angels of God tell us who he is. He is the Son of God. He is the virgin-born Son of God. He is the supernaturally conceived Son of God. Listen to the angel again. The angels appeared then to the shepherds out on the Judean hillsides as they grazed their flocks by night. And the angels came and appeared to these shepherds and said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And the angels were afraid. And in Luke 2:10 it says, the angel said to the shepherds, fear not, for we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Who is Christ the Lord? All right, secondly, call in. You want to know who he is? We've called in the angels. We've heard from the angels of God. Now call in the prophets of old. The scripture says God, in Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times and in different ways spake to our fathers by the prophets. God spake to our fathers by the prophets. What God had to say to the people, he said to the people through the prophets. Let's listen to these men. Who, Isaiah, who is Jesus Christ? Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel, being interpreted, means God with us. God in human flesh. God came to the earth. God Almighty took upon himself a human body and walked on this earth. That's what Isaiah said. And then in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A child is born. Now Christ became a man. And he came from the womb just like any other baby. And he nourished at the breast just like any other baby. A child is born. But he was not only a man, he was God. So a son, the beloved son, the only begotten son, the son of the highest, a son was not born, not made, but given. The word of God is very exact. And Isaiah, prophesying hundreds of years before Christ came to this earth, said, behold, unto us a child is born, but a son is given. And listen, and his name, the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who is Jesus Christ? Let the prophet tell you. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And listen to Isaiah in chapter 53. He was despised and rejected of men. That's what I read to you a moment ago. Born in poverty, reared in obscurity, hated by men, spit upon, crucified, buried, despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteem him not, but surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted, but he was wounded not for his transgressions, but for our transgressions. He was bruised not for his iniquities, but for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was laid on him. By his stripes we're healed. All right, who is Jesus Christ? Isaiah says he's the Mighty God. He's God with us. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Call in the Heavenly Father. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, our Lord came to Jordan's River to be introduced, to be declared who he is by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist pointed to him as he came to that river. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist regarded every lamb ever slain on a Jewish altar for these thousands of years. And then he pointed at Jesus Christ and he says, there comes the Lamb of God. There comes the sacrifice of which all sacrifices are but types. There comes the Lamb of which all lambs are but types. There comes the Lamb of God that really taketh away sin. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. They point to him who can. And listen to the Heavenly Father in Matthew 3, and that on that same occasion, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, you want to know who Jesus Christ is? Listen, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That's what the Father said. This is my Son. Not this is a prophet. This is a healer. This is a reformer. This is my Son. And then one day he was on the mountain with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they fell asleep while he prayed. And our Lord's glory was revealed in that moment. And Moses and Elijah stood on either side of him talking to him. And when the disciples awakened, they saw his glory. And the voice from heaven came again. A cloud covered them. It said there came a cloud that overshadowed the disciples, and they were engulfed in this great cloud. And a voice came out of that cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear him. Hear him. Here's a strange witness. We've listened to the angels. We've listened to the prophets. We've listened to the Heavenly Father. I want you to hear another witness. I want you to hear the demons. Who preacheth? The demons. I want you to hear what the demons have to say about Jesus Christ. The demons know more than most preachers today. The demons know more or will admit more or confess more than comes from the average pulpit today. You hear from the average pulpit today that Jesus Christ is only a good man, only a healer. He is only a reformer. He's a superstar who came down here who didn't know where he came from or why he came or who he was or where he was going or why he was dying. The demons know better than that. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, verse 23, listen to this. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, who cried out, and this is the demons in this man with the unclean spirit. The demons, the unclean spirits are crying out to Jesus Christ, let us alone. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee. I know thee, said the demons. I know thee. I know who thou art. The Holy One of God. That's what the demons said. We know who you are. Have you come to destroy us? We know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. You're the Holy One of God. Then in Matthew 8, verse 28, there met him in the land there in the tombs coming from the cemetery two men possessed with devils. And behold, as they met Jesus Christ, they cried out, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Now watch this next statement. Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? The time of our destruction has not come. The time of our being cast into hell has not come. Have you come? Have you come to torment us before our time? Interesting, isn't it? Who is Jesus Christ? Let the demons tell you. You won't listen to the angels. If you won't listen to the prophets, if you won't listen to the Father, listen to the demons. They know who he is, and they fear him. All right, call in the disciples. Let the disciples tell you who Jesus Christ is. Peter, who is Jesus Christ? Our Lord said, whom do you say that I am? Whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Listen to Peter. Thou art the Christ. That prophet of whom Moses wrote. The Lord himself shall raise up from the midst of the brethren a prophet, him you shall hear. Thou art that Christ for whom Israel waited. Thou art that Christ, the consolation of Israel, for whom the people of God waited. Call in Thomas. Thomas wasn't with the disciples when the Lord appeared to them after his resurrection. He missed the blessing. It says the disciples were assembled in the upper room and Christ appeared to them and Thomas was not there. And they went and told Thomas. They said, the Lord has risen. He said, I don't believe it. I won't believe it unless I can put my hand, the nail prints in his hand and in the spear mark of his side. And our Lord appeared to him later and stood before him. He said, Thomas, reach hither thy finger and touch my hand, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And Thomas, don't be without faith, believe. And Thomas fell on his knees in front of Christ, the Master. And then he looked up and he said, what did he say? My Lord and my God. That's who he is. Let Thomas tell you who he is. He's my Lord and my God. He's not sweet little Jesus, boy. He's not the failure. He's not the imposter. He is my Lord and my God. John, come in, John, the beloved disciple who leaned on the breast of the Son of God at the Last Supper. Come in, John, and tell us who he is. All right, John said, we know that the Son of God has come. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. The Son of God hath come and given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we're in him that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That's what I've got to say, John said. This is the true God I'm talking about, and this is eternal life. Eternal life is to know Christ. Eternal life is vested in Christ. Eternal life is given by Christ. He said, thou hast given me power, praying to the Father, thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Paul, come in. Tell us who he is. All right, Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven, earth, and hell, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Two men were sitting one time in a garden talking on a bench, and one of them turned to the other and said, wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody from up there, somebody from the throne of God would come down here and tell us what it's all about. And the other man wisely replied, someone did. His name was Jesus Christ. He came down here in human flesh and spoke our tongue and suffered in human flesh and thirsted and was weary and was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he was God's prophet. God sent him. He said, he that seeth me hath seen the Father. He that honoreth me honoreth the Father. He that knoweth me knoweth the Father. He that rejecteth me rejecteth the Father, and my Father one. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son into the world, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were born under the law. John said in chapter 1, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. And he came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. You have three groups of people there. You have the world in general. He was in the world, and the world didn't know him. That's the world in general. They didn't know him. He came to his own people, his own kingdom, his own nation, Israel, and they received him not. But You have the third group, as many as received him. Some did, some believed. Old Simeon standing there in the temple waiting for the consolation of Israel, and God had promised him that he would not see death until he had seen the Messiah. And Mary and Joseph brought that baby, Jesus Christ, and put him in the arms of that old man, that priest of God. And he looked down into the face of that child, and then he lifted his eyes to heaven, and he said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon knew who he was. As many as received him, to them gave he the right to become sons of God. To as many as believed on his name, which were born, not of blood, that is, not of family inheritance, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. Who is Jesus Christ? He not only came as the prophet to tell us who God is, to reveal the mercy of God and the grace of God and the righteousness of God and the justice of God, but he came as our priest to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Because we were in sin and we were in darkness and we were in death and we were in inability. And what the law could not do because of the weakness of the flesh, the law wasn't weak, the flesh was. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh redeemed us and condemned sin in the flesh. He came as the only sacrifice for sin. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel. Who is Emmanuel? God with us. From Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. It cleanses, it atones, it redeems, lose all their guilty stain. Who is Jesus Christ? Now, if you want this message on tape, you write to me. The tape will contain two messages, this week and next week. It costs $3. We'll be glad to hear from you. Until next week at the same time, I bid you a very pleasant good day.